and all this kumbaya crap about just do it for love. It's bullshit at the end of the day if you got to keep the lights on, right? Sure.
You think somebody in the world, a government, something of that is going to save you and you're not changing at all and you're not finding new friends that are doing things a different way.
We no longer are take control of our lives, many of us. We allow the rest of the world to take our responsibilities from us and make us their problem.
Need motivation? Watch a top 10 with Believe Nation. What's up? It's Evan. My one word is believe, and I believe in you. I believe you have an amazing gift inside you that I want to see explode out onto the world. So let's get your motivation to a 10 and get you believing in you. Grab a snack and chew on today's lessons from a man who went from waiting tables at Red Lobster to becoming a fashion entrepreneur, speaker, author, and investor on Shark Tank. He's Damon John, and here's my take on his top 10 rules of success, volume 2. Enjoy. All right, let's kick things off with rule number one, my personal favorite, don't chase money.
I had this idea that I was going to, you know, buy and sell crash cars, right? So I'll buy it at $5,000, put $2,500 into it, and then sell it at $10,000. It's simple. And if you put the math together, I was going to do that every month, and then they would start compounding in 2-3 years. I was going to be a gazillionaire.
Yeah.
Pretty much simple. I had it all planned out.
How'd that go for
and
it?
I love joking and saying Mike Tyson's, you know, theory is, you know, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face, and life will punch you in the face. I pretty much got punched in the face probably 6 months into it, and then I found myself working at Red Lobster with none of that money because I was trying to do it for money.
Yeah.
You know, I really hate working on cars because I can't work on them. My hands are really buttery soft. My hands feel like veal. I'm not supposed to work on a car, man. And I'm thinking, you know.
At least you know that about yourself, though. I love that.
You know, well, I knew it myself after the first transmission, you know, crushed my foot. And then I was real like, you know what? I think hats are better. You know, so, but again, you know, a lot of people out there chasing their dream, but their dream is to just be rich. Yeah. And that's not a dream. You know, if you try to go out and make money for the purpose of making money, first of all, you could end up in the wrong place due to it. You could be miserable. And then when you get it, if you don't have no goal on why you were trying to achieve this goal, you feel unfulfilled.
Yeah.
Rule number two, defy the odds.
I'm most proud of being able to escape the clutches of everybody else's goals that they set for me when I was 16 and 20 years old, like most of the people that grew up in neighborhoods that that people told them they were going to be dead or in jail or that they weren't good because of their color, their skin, or education, or because they didn't have any money. And I escaped those goals that were set for me by society, by people in the neighborhood who may not have had the right support system around them. And I defied those odds, and I became a person that I'm very proud of who I am today. People could look at me and say, if he can make it, I can make it.
Rule number three, have a good morning routine.
My morning routine 5 years ago was I would get up and I would look at my emails, a couple of them. I wouldn't let them consume me because I'm dyslexic and I know that when you read, it takes more of the brain to utilize to read it. So I would use it to stimulate my brain, right? I'd get up, I'd read my goals like I've always done, and I would try to eat something healthy, and then I would get to the office because I was like, I can't work out too early because, number one, there's a lot of fires that I need to put out, and I can't do that. As I started to realize what was going on, I started to do these interviews with people. I started saying, all right, maybe I need to change this around. So now it's totally different. So I'll get up. I'll do my goals. I'll still do that small part of reading the email, but I will not look at social media, which I used to. And now I'll go work out because I used to work out at night when I felt that my emails weren't coming in that much and I wanted to kind of get tired. So I'll rest it. But I start working out now earlier in the day, and I start also scheduling time with my daughter and with my family to make sure that that is priority over anything else. Mm-hmm. And I also schedule any kind of health things I need to do, doctors, checkups, physicals, whatever the case is. What that did was I'm more productive because the adrenaline running and I got to work and I'm I'm more active. I didn't eat the egg and cheese sandwich, which slowed me down, right? And I need to chill out for a little while. I started doing my spending more time with my family, and because I started to say I'm going to make a major appointment, any kind of appointment I can, once a month for my health, I ended up finding out I had stage 2 cancer. After starting to find out all these people's techniques because I looked further into my health, and I ended up finding out I had stage 2 cancer. And it didn't save my life necessarily because I had thyroid cancer, which would still be a challenge, but I had a surgery and I got the cancer removed. I'm cancer free. And it was because of me altering my life with these small adjustments.
Rule number 4, ask yourself why.
A lot of people don't ask themselves why.
Yeah.
Do I want more cars, more jets and stuff like that? No, I don't. Speaking of Mr. Cuban, I go to Dallas one day and I'm like, man, Mark, I never been to your office, man. Tell me about it. The Mavs, all kind of things. You know, it's huge, probably, right? And he's like, all right, I'll meet you. And then he comes to the hotel in his pajamas, and this is when sidekicks were out, looking at the sidekick. And I said,
sidekick.
Why am I gonna?
Amazing.
I said, I want to go to your office. He said, I haven't been in 3 years. I was like, what do you mean you haven't been in your office in 3 years? He said, What do I want? More money? He said, I want to chill home with my son, the Jakester. I want to answer my things here. But why do you publicly give out your email if you don't want more work? He's like, I enjoy sitting at home in my pajamas looking at this stuff. And I realized, he's just like me. Why are you doing things? You have to ask yourself, right? And that is your discipline, right? Why am I going to work every single day? And of course, I understand. A lot of people here don't have the luxury like I am afforded now, and you have to go to work. You have to. You have to keep the lights on. And all this kumbaya crap about just do it for love is bullshit. At the end of the day, if you got to keep the lights on, right?
Sure, there's a practical.
You got to ask yourself why.
Rule number 5, have a good team.
What would you say is your unique superpower?
Picking good people.
Yeah.
I am not the smartest person in the world, but I have this knack for picking good people. I have this knack also for allowing people to fail and seeing the good within them. And when everybody else goes, they are short-tempered with the people or whatever the case is, I figure that just like in entrepreneurship, if this stuff has failed between you and I and you didn't do a good job, I know one less thing I can give you, but now where can I give you stuff that makes you who you are? And I think that that's my knack. I give a lot of people a lot of chances, but it ends up coming back to me double and triple in value because they are amazing people.
Yeah. What's the thing you see that you look for when you can pick them? Is it like a feeling right away? Is it
no,
more
it
like
never feel right away.
Themselves?
It's never feel right away because they have to unfold the everybody's on their best behavior when you first meet them.
You know, take the onion off.
Yeah, exactly. So it's drive, right? It's that they think outside the box. They're problem solvers. They're also able to communicate throughout a team and a system. And they have a very clear vision on the things that they like, and they know how to communicate that to everybody else so everybody else could kind of see their way. They may not be good in one area, but it doesn't matter. If if I pick a person, I'll put them in any area. You know what I mean? And they'll figure it out. Those type of common sense, those type of, with drive, and some level of respect, honesty, and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, you just can't lose when you have somebody like that. You have somebody ready to bust their ass, and you can't if they're never gonna stop.
They're gonna figure it out one day.
Yeah, you can't beat those people. and they're gonna if you don't work with them, they're gonna go off and be your competitor.
Exactly.
Rule number 6: reprogram your thinking.
Friend of my mother's is somebody who is in the interior design sector, and she's about 55 years old. She's not doing that well in interior design right now, and unlike, our history of our parents growing up, and they really didn't have to re-educate themselves in their current business. Yeah. Today, you have to re-educate yourself. And I said to her, well, why aren't you understanding about technology and Instagram? And she said, well, all my friends who were doing bad, we can't believe that anybody will ever hire an interior decorator off of Instagram. And I said, that's why you have the problem you have right now. You're doing exactly the same thing you've been doing since 08. You think somebody in the world, a government, something of that is going to save you, and you're not changing at all, and you're not finding new friends that are doing things a different way. So it's not about no longer when we were kids, when we were 18 years old. It's about everybody in the world has to reprogram the way they think.
Rule number 7, figure things out.
You know, Barbara on the show has a technique, and I've seen it highlighted a couple of different ways throughout the book. A lot of people write down what they hate, write down what they love, and they start focusing more on what they love and start trying to outsource and or get done with what they hate, and they keep focusing on what they love. And what that does is it brings them over to that place in life where they want to be, because they're acknowledging what they hate and they're acknowledging what they love. And if they make an effort to outsource this or get this out of it or stop doing or stop dealing with these people or stop having these thoughts or being proactive to get this thing right, they start to lean more towards here in life.
Wow. It's in a way, it's sort of like a visualization, right? And you're seeing progress every time you check one of those things off the list.
Yeah. You know, I this is not in the book, but I have a dear friend. She is a hairstylist in Vegas, and she wrote down a list. She was like, I love doing hair because I love the way it makes people feel, but I hate standing in this beauty salon because those women in there are just gossiping and there's nothing of value there. I don't want to stand on my feet all day, and I don't want to touch all these dyes that could give me cancer. But I do want to live somewhere by a beach. I want to be my own entrepreneur, and I want to make up my own hours. So she started to look at that, and she started to realize the weaknesses she had is she hated accounting, legal, and all these things that she may not have known.
Yep.
She started looking at this list and doing stuff, and as she started to do more of what she loved and less of what she hated, she started to say, hey, if you're an accountant or an attorney, you're a female, I'll come to your house and I'll do your hair, and I'll come here every month and do your hair every 2 weeks. You, on the flip side, handle my accounting or legal fees or whatever the case is. So now she got out of the shop. She's making just as much money doing that because they refer her to more friends who come on over. She has a better network here. So now she's gotten out of the shop, and she feels good about it because she's changing their lives and making them feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, she's gotten a couple of Airbnbs, and she Ubers during the day, and she's now living, she has a house in California that she goes out and visits every once in a while. She stays on the beach every weekend, comes back to Las Vegas, does what she does. This took 3 years, but it worked because she kept looking at this direction to go to and trying to find a way to get these things out of the way.
I also, folks at home, like, you need to pay attention. Like, this is, who would think that that's a job that does not exist? I'm a mobile hairstylist for people that provide professional services, and I trade those services so that I can not have to do, like, if you ever wondered if what you want out there in life is available to you,
it's
like,
there.
It is absolutely
You'll figure
there.
It out.
Rule number 8, use the 80-20 rule.
What do you think is the one thing you could do this year to help you drastically increase your revenue or income with everything that you're doing? Is it, you know, the FUBU thing or reinvesting back in yourself? Is it taking a couple things and going all in with a few things, or?
I think today, you know, if I was going to maximize, then it would have to be, you know, really looking at the 80-20 at the company and personally, meaning what is the 20% of stuff that is creating 80% of the revenue and or joy or time in my life, whether it's personally or whatever the case is, and really digging deep into that thing. And a lot of times people don't want to look at the 80-20.
Right.
I do look at it as often as I can, but I'm human as well.
Mm-hmm.
I get caught up in some things that may be from a reason I think needs to be done, and I get off track, but I have to go back to my goals and look at them. But yeah, it would be the 80-20. Like, what are providing the 80% of revenue and or joy for my staff and myself and keeping people there.
Rule number 9, take control of your life.
What did you find fascinating about Tyler the Creator from Odd Future?
I found that he was a young kid, but he was extremely disciplined in however he put himself together, and he would do various things. You know, what you'll notice on 15 of these subjects is they all do various different things, but it's the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice that we no longer or take control of our lives, many of us. We allow the rest of the world to take our responsibilities from us and make us their problem, right? So we have to be selfish. And I looked at it in a certain way that Tyler was being selfish in the same way. I'll give you an example. I'll get right back to how Tyler is. When we wake up in the morning, we usually have 100 emails, and then we then go look on social media, and we then kiss the kids or the husband, the wife, whatever, and run out. We go on, we get in the car, and we listen to the news, and the entire world blew up, and then we get to the office, and we're dealing with everybody else. We get home, cook for the kids, or maybe the husband, wife, or the roommate, and then we start it all over again. But But what I noticed with the people earlier on in their lives or in their day, what they do the first 90 minutes is they get up, they don't answer any emails for the first hour because they don't care about everybody else's problems. They send out emails, but they won't answer everybody else's because we're so busy taking care of everybody else's problems. They won't look at social media because you get social media depression because everybody on social media is doing great. They got a big car. They're all beautiful. They all got big butts or skinny butts, whatever you like, right? And before you know it, you're late for work, right? You don't even put any time in. So what these people do is they won't answer any emails because they look at their inbox as their defense. They look at their outbox as offense. They'll send out all these emails.
Yeah.
They won't look at social media. They'll go ahead and take time and schedule time with their kids, their wife, whoever it is for the next night or tomorrow, whatever the case is, because they know if they keep saying, we'll hang out, they'll never get to it.
Mm-hmm.
They eat something healthy. They'll do four sets of 25, like you said. You'll do four sets of 25 push-ups, get the adrenaline running. Then they'll get out there and they'll start doing things. And what people usually don't do is they never take time for themselves to ask themselves, who do they want to be tomorrow, next year, in 10 years? And Tyler, even as a young kid, he'll go out there and he'll sit in a tree for an hour with his friends.
Yeah.
He'll just sit in a tree because we usually forget who we wanted to be. We're answering everybody else's problem. We're a mother, we're a father, we're a husband, we're whoever else. And he takes about an hour a day and sits in the tree and writes everything down. He doesn't put it on his cell phone. He doesn't put it in his smartphone, on a tablet. And he uses that as a Bible, and every day keeps navigating him towards success. And I've noticed that every person in the book does the same exact thing in one form or another. They may do it at midnight. They may do it in the morning time. But they all give praise. They thank what they have around them, and then they see how they can build on it by thinking about who they want to be instead of letting everybody else in the world tell them what they want from them.
And rule number 10, the last one before some very special bonus clips, be a shark.
You look at somebody like a Mark Cuban. The man has more money than God. And that's what you got to use against him. You have to say, do you really think that Mark cares about the little $50,000, $100,000 that he's going to spend on you? He doesn't love you. We see him on the side of basketball courts all the time. I'm going to say, hey, do you want to have to wait till the season's over to talk to your partner? Think about that. Barbara, brilliant woman, but, you know, hey, do you really want to deal with a real estate agent? You have a clothing company. Kevin O'Leary, we all can pick on him. That's just like beating a puppy. He's an a-hole. He wants royalties. He's just a miserable person. So that's easy. Anyway, I can go on about the sharks, but it's all like chess. And trust me, they use it against me just as well. And it's fun, but think about this. If you ever beat another shark, these are filthy rich people that you not only embarrass them on national television, but you're also making a profit at the same time.
Now, I've got three very special Damon John bonus clips around using your fears, taking care of your health, and believing in yourself a little bit more. But before that, my question of the day is, have you read any of Damon John's books? And if so, which ones did you like the most? What's the best first Damon John book to start on? Leave it down in the comments below. Really curious to find out. Thank you guys so much for watching. I believe in you. I hope you continue to believe in yourself and whatever your one word is. Much love. I'll see you soon and enjoy the bonus clips.
I think we all fear. There's a couple things we all probably fear. Being judged unfairly, not being able to provide for our loved ones and our family, death, and losing people that we love. I think those are a lot of things. But the fear ourselves are often about the fear of being able to be acknowledged and or the fear of failing and people looking at you as a failure.
Yeah.
Because you
it's a human need,
it's
right?
It's a human need, right?
Babies that don't get loved, babies that don't get loved literally die.
Yeah.
So, like, human connection.
You want to be accepted, and you have to always second-guess yourself. I second-guess myself every day, right? And it's the fear of saying, there's no point in my life that I didn't have fear, and I call it a healthy paranoia in business. Food was doing well. Okay, well, a hot clothing line lasts 5 years. Damon, did you get bit by the apple? You know, did you bite the apple once or get hit by lightning? No, I got to do it again. All right, you failed in the next three launches. What are you going to do? No, I got to do it again. Oh, I got to share this idea of who I am with the world. I want to empower other entrepreneurs, but I'm dyslexic. I'm going to write a book? Are you kidding me? People are going to laugh at me, right? You know, you're going to go on to be on a TV show. I'm not articulate. I didn't I didn't go to college. You know, you have people like Mark Cuban. He's a billionaire sitting next to me. You know, I'm a couple of hundred million short. I mean, you know, how am I going to debate against him? All right, I gotta have a mental judo game. I got to create a chessboard against him. I can't lose his deal. All right, Mark Cuban's going to give you $1 billion, but, you know, just like when you have a house, you only sleep in one bedroom, right? Mark has a mansion. I'm sleeping in one bedroom, and I'm here for you. You're the bedroom, right, man? Mark's running all around. Screw him. And then I get him, and I get him out of the deal. You know, fear of, am I leaving my daughter's inheritance or a legacy? How will they perceive me? You know, fear of making my daughters public people where now they have pressure on them, and I want to hide them from everybody or in fear of anything else. You know, the president of the United States, President Obama, made me a presidential ambassador for global entrepreneurship. I can never let him down, right?
Yeah.
It's always going to be some level of fear, and that fear is good if it's healthy.
You know, we all talk about business all the time, but the aspect of health is the most important part, and nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about it, and most businessmen and women, you go around and you're traveling all the time, and, you know, it's not easy to eat the best things. Then you're at 2 and 3 dinners a night. You're drinking because you're bored with a lot of people. You're drinking because you're happy because you're off. You know, you're not sleeping. You're in between climates and things of that nature. And then all of a sudden it implodes and you have nothing left.
Entrepreneurship is natural to everybody, right? We wake up as kids and we tell everybody we're going to be Superman or Superwoman, we're going to change the world and everything else like that. What happens is complacency is taught. You can't do that. You won't do that. It can't happen. You're going to embarrass yourself. You're going to embarrass us. So what happens is really the people around us who put us in a certain box. Now, they may be doing it because they care about you and say, listen, son or daughter, I've grown up in my life. And they may have grown up in a day and age where one parent could work and the other could stay at home, right? Or that you had to have an education and rely on the government or a company. But it is something that is in all of us. Every kid is open-minded to changing the world. And I grew up a dyslexic kid who got left back, all kind of issues, but my mother made me feel like I can conquer the entire world. So it's all about the parents and the people around us who give us those dreams and those aspirations on what we could do. But entrepreneurship is very easy. It really is. You know what's harder than being an entrepreneur? Being a mother or a parent is harder than being an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Raising a child or a family, 10 times harder than being an entrepreneur. You can't just give away your kid. You can close the company.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to have to solve the problem with the kid, right? No matter what.
That's a good point.
That is 10 times harder. So everybody listening to this who is a parent, you are an entrepreneur. Yeah, okay. You can do it.
So let me give you the one word secret to happiness. One word. This is all you need to be happy.
The most important word ever.
If you had to think of one word that's most important to you or that sums you up or that would be kind of like a little beacon.
Hey, Believe Nation, if you want to know what the most important one word is for Tony Robbins, Gary Vaynerchuk, Oprah Winfrey, Will.i.am, and Howard Schultz, I have a very special secret video for you. Check the description for details.